you don't have to. It's just one of those things. It's a little difficult for me to understand. I know you, so I do, you know, understand what you're saying. But it's a little difficult today.
I think you might have drifted off frequency a little bit. He runs some old radios there, and they do that now and then.
Well, that could have been it. See, I ain't smart enough to think of that.
Hey, it could be. Now, this is a different microphone. Now, how does this sound, Tom?
it has more highs in it than your other one, that's for sure. But you just don't sound right, Michael. You don't sound like you always sound.
Hey, Tom, I'm jumping right in between. I hope I got here first. He sounds like Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse?
Well, when you turn the frequency down, that's what's going to happen. I'll bring it back up on center frequency. We won't have no problems.
Bringing it up and keeping it there is two different things, though, Norm.
Yeah, and I'll turn your processor off or whatever else you're blasting with. Holy Hannah.
How about if I just turn off the linear?
You gotta do more than that. You better back something else down.
I just turned off the linear. Did that make much difference?
Nah, you're still pretty hot.
Let's see. That's all right. I'm not looking at DLC. Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, it is hot.
Oh, it turned it almost off. Okay. Hello. There, maybe that's still pretty loud. Yeah, that's pretty loud. Okay. Maybe right there.
That's a little bit like him. I think you, Tom. What do you think?
I can't hear him now.
Oh, you can hear me if I turn the layer back on, Tom. How's that now?
That's better. Yeah, and you sound better now.
What agility. You guys are pressing me to be agile with controls, you know? Even though it's just a dial, it's hard to not twisting the dial, but stopping after you get going.
I know how you normally sound, which is pretty good, and you didn't sound like that today. I'm sorry, Michael. Just telling you how it is.
I think it's pretty fair. It makes do for conversation, I reckon. Enjoyable conversation, but it is essentially informative. Hey, I'll get back to listening. I don't have much to say. I've been, tonight we got to go meet a contractor at one of these distribution centers to look at all things for bathrooms and that. My wife, after being in this house 30 years or so, she wants to have the powder room downstairs, the bath, the half bath, just the shower, off the master bedroom, and then the main bathroom, all that stuff remodeled. And that's all right, because I tell you, I never did like the tub. The tub that they put in this house, the people that built the house, it was 10 years old when we bought it, and their family was pretty much growing up, I guess. They had two boys and a girl, so you can imagine wear and tear by them, and I had two daughters, so things are pretty well with. Well, the bathtub was very square, kind of, it doesn't have a reclining back to it, and the reason being because the gentleman, head of the family, he was a big man. He was big. He was like 6'4", 6'5", and I think his back, he could put his back against that straight upright end of the tub, and his feet probably were touching the other end. And I suppose his kids and his wife had to endure that. But we're smaller, and I'd like to get a tub that's going to be reclining so you can, when you have the aches and pains and you feel like the only remedy is going to be to do a little soaking in hot water, well, I want it such that I can recline in it. And so we got to look at stuff today.
Hey, why don't you just call Bath Fitter and have him come and put in one of those walk-in tub shower deals with the jets in it and all that stuff. You'll be just fine. You'll love it.
I'd do it that way, Tom, if it was just me. But I've got a wife, and you can imagine, at least you've got memories of it, what it's like to live and share a house with a woman.
But you wouldn't like that either?
Oh, I tell you, I find that one hard to believe. It's like a jacuzzi where you can sit down.
That's right. And they exercise them down here all the time, Michael. They're nice.
Maybe I should look further ahead. Maybe get one of those tubs that has a little doorway so you can just walk into it and not walk over to get into it.
That's what I said, the walk-in tub. Yeah, they're very nice. You can sit there. You got the jets coming in there, massaging you. The heat is, the seat and the back are heated. If you want to shower, you can still shower in it. Yeah, they're nice.
We'll see what happens. I'll let you know how it all unfolds. Hey, look, in the end, if she's happy, I'm all right with it. It's no mine. You know the colors of the walls. They're not of my picking.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
Gotcha.
Oh, it's not a problem, Norm. It's just a mindset. Let it be. You know, the only place that I have absolute freedom is in the garage.
Well, you're lucky. What do you have, a one-bay garage?
Two attached.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got two attached, too, so she drives in, and if it ain't right, it ain't right.
But that's pretty brief. I can sometimes formulate distraction through conversation. You guys know that.
Well, you're quicker on the thinking job than I am. My answer is just forget about it, would you please? And that gets me in trouble.
Well, if I think the jump, I'm still thinking after the jump, and sometimes the conclusion arrives before the final stop, and it's like, oh, man. You know, and where did that begin, that concept? When we were kids, we used to go to the high bridge and jump into the water. The highest point was probably about 60 feet. Man, when you hit water from a jump of 60 feet, you better hit it right.
I have some comments on that, Tom, but I'll leave it where it is. Tim, did you run away yet? These kids, I don't know, you can't keep them straight. They just wander off all the time.
I know, isn't that awesome?
Well, is he retired, Tom, or going to?
There was a little double one going there. Somebody, whoever else was the weakest, I think it wasn't you, Michael. Whoever else was in there, go ahead.
Yeah, that was Michael and Tim, I think.
Tim, turn your radio back on.
Oh, sorry, you're right. I turned it. I put it on standby.
Well, geez, you know, right off. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I just wondered if you were still in there or had left, that's all.
Yeah, I was listening. I was on the computer reading some stuff. I think I'll go on standby for a while and go read the computer. I gotta do a few things on there. I got to get a form filled out and get a money order, and I got a few things to do. But I'll be listening in here, but I probably won't talk much. November 2, Mike Echo Sierra. I'll be on standby. Bye-bye, guys. All right, Tim, you have a good day. Nice meeting you, and we'll catch you again. AB3KW.
Catch you later, Tim. Maybe next Saturday we'll see you then.
Hey, nice making your acquaintance, Tim. And these guys will tell me everything about you. M2HFO. Hey, Norm, is he thinking about retiring, or is he retired?
Well, yeah, he's in the throes of it right now. Yeah, he's trying to learn it. And he's basically there I can't remember what the date was now right offhand. But, yeah, he signed the final papers, and he's out the door, so to speak. So he's worried about income right now and all that stuff, whether to draw from this account or from that account or not, or put it to one other to make a little more here and there or whatever. Having a heck of a time for himself. But now that we got him going, he's probably not working on his computer. He's probably calling Saxes and asking him to be out of that movie's stock some results.
Well, retirement is an adjustment, no doubt. It's no doubt. Fixed incomes, not every one of us have evolved into a situation where we just have tons and tons of money, set aside. Nice nest egg, nest egg, some people, politicians.
Yeah, all right. I remember I wasn't going to talk about that no more. Yeah, well, that's life. Michael, I've been retired so many years, almost as long as you've been born. Not really, but not too far beyond that, I guess. So it's hard for me to figure out how to work or how to sit around, but I've learned pretty well that I can sit around now.
I'll be 66 in a couple days, 2 days, 66. That's a number. Finances, I don't spend as much. Since I've been retired, I really don't have to. It's amazing how much money you spend when you are working. When you're in motion, going back and forth about places on a regular basis,
you find yourself stopping more often in places, spending money
than what you do when you're retired and you just don't go out.
Well, yeah, I understand. Tom's probably pretty will agree with that one there, but see, my wife, she retired with me, basically. I was 24 when I got retired. And of course, we didn't have much then. We really did. It just evolved, as you use the word, dear, over these many years to the point where it is. So we're okay, just the two of us now. But we had all that other stuff to take care of along the route, so we didn't have a heck of a lot. So I think we spend probably more now eating out or dumb things we don't really need to do all the time, but we do.
That's something we don't do here. We don't eat out there on any regular basis whatsoever. And tell you, once in a blue moon. Yeah, once in a blue moon. And that expression really is the truth. Once in a blue moon we go out. It's not that, we're saving money. To me, eating out is like going to movie theaters. It can be hit or miss. Might be a good movie and a bad audience. It might be a bad movie and a quiet audience. Or it might be both either way. Good movie, good audience. You never know. And that's what it's like to me as far as going out to eat. Now, you can go find yourself a place that you believe that, oh, man, they're consistent. Last time I was there, good, they're all around. And the next time and the next time, so you're inclined. But if you hit it often enough, it too gets boring and someone comes up with a great idea. Hey, we should try something different.
That's my way of putting it. Yeah. Well, we do the Friday night thing. We always have to brought any of the shrimp or steak and shrimp or whatever. I like that last time I had shrimp. So we do that on quite a regular basis. Not every week, but majority of them. The wife's out again today. Yesterday, the day before, the day before that, and the day before that. Taking other people to do other things. And that, how that involves things when you're out there, you gotta have a little lunch or something. Well, there goes some money. Irregardless, and I'll tell you what, eating out is not cheap. Anyway, you cannot find cheap meals out there anymore. You might find cheaper, but that's what you usually get in the long run, too. So, well, anyways, that's what I find us doing. Yeah, and there ain't no sense of saving money at this time in life. You might better spend it and enjoy it. That's what I figured. How about you, Tom? What do you think about that? Don't be too much.
JB3KW, I agree with you wholeheartedly. My gosh, you're going to McDonald's. You get a Big Mac, a drink, and an order of fries, and this one, well, it's over $8. I can't remember. It's a few cents, something like that. You can go right across the street to Bob Evans and get a meal for $8.99, and then you pay a couple of bucks tip, $2 or $3 tip to the waitress. But I'd rather go sit down and enjoy my meal and sit there and eat it in the car before it gets cold.
Is sometimes complemented by atmosphere. You know how people are interested in atmosphere. But, you know, the days of really delicious, enjoyable meals for me have been gone for decades. You know, I was born in a family that they practiced the Catholic stuff, you know. Had fish on Friday. When you went to Mass, it was spoken Latin, you know, when I was a child. But, you know, long after they went from to English, the tradition at home remained the same. Every Friday, guaranteed, we were going to have haddock and french fries. And all the other dinners throughout the week, nobody's matched that. No restaurant. Yeah, I've tasted it and seen, you know, presentations of food that are fascinating, wild, and all that, and delicious even. But nothing's going to, you know, ever top what it was like to be part of a family growing up with a mother that cooked. Well, I will not disagree with that one. I do agree with it. And that's the way we were for many, many years. We still do it, but we were doing it when our grandkids would come and stay with us and all that stuff. You know what? They're all grown up adults themselves, out working, got families to themselves. And, and when the wife calls, I don't know, I'll just take spaghetti because it's easier. I'm thinking about it right at the moment. She doesn't know how to make enough for just two people, maybe enough for the next day or a couple days later or whatever. She still makes it on the scale of having a family around. For God's sake, we end up throwing more out that way. And that's the fact. We really do. Because you don't get it ate up in time than you would if you go out and buy it. So, I don't know. It works both ways. And I still enjoy, just like you were saying, Michael, I absolutely enjoy that sit down with a family and to talk. You know, you put your damn phones in a basket someplace because we're going to sit here and we're going to talk. We're not going to look at your damn iPhones. And that's the way it is here. I don't allow it. So, yeah, we get more done that way, and I do enjoy it much better, much more that way than I would doing it the way a lot of things are nowadays. And
my wife is out with other folks doing charitable things today, and
I'm sitting here, so I got to fix myself up.
Yeah, and since you mentioned that, Norm, you guys talking about all this food's making me hungry. So I'm going to go out. I think I got sausage in the freezer. I'm going to get some of that thawed out, throw up the skillet, and have a couple eggs and toast. So I'll be back here if you're going to be hanging around there, Norm. So maybe this would be a good opportunity for you to go get your breakfast or lunch, brunch, whatever you want to call it. And I know Michael's already had his. He has a built-in cook up there, so, what can I say? But I'll catch you guys all later. It's been fun. AB3KW.
All right, Tom. Yeah, need to do that. My body's telling me right now that you haven't had anything since about 7:30 this morning, and all those medications that I have today are telling me that if I don't go have a little something, I might be in a shaky mood here shortly. So that's not a fun feeling either. So, yeah, I think I'm going to take care of that right now. Michael, hate to leave you in a lurch there, but maybe you ought to go see Mother if she's at home there. Hey, tell her it's lunchtime. if that's how you do it. I don't know. No offenses there, hopefully taken. But okay, well, catch you all later. I leave it on. I'll be around here someplace. W2MH.
Okay, Norm. Okay, Tom.
No problem, honestly.
My wife, she's out and about. She's doing some things, some errands there. She belongs to a couple things.
Associations and such. Yesterday, she spent some time with a co-worker running around, and earlier in the week, she got together with a childhood girlfriend of, oh man, they went to grammar school together. They've always been close. Good stuff, good stuff. And me, I'm going to just screw around. I'm going to get talk to myself here a little bit. That's all right. Don't worry. On the serious stuff, I get second opinions. Catch you later, N2HFO.
Okay. It's good to know you get a second opinion. Catch you later, W2MH.
anybody out there.
Detective.
Oh, so what's going on?
Well, first things first. Most important thing, how'd it go today?
Well, it went pretty good. I worked up a resume this morning there and went over and met the owners and Yeah, talked with them for a little bit, dropped it off, and now I guess I got to play the waiting game. So, yeah, really nice place over there. Looks like they got quite an operation going. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see.
Well, I got my fingers crossed. Just now, literally, on my left hand. I hope it works out good. If it's meant to be, it will be. But anywho, I was screwing around with this microphone. I changed, I dropped the capacitance on it give it more brilliance, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds great. Yeah, no problem. Is that D104 you've been working with?
Yeah. It's D104 I've been playing with. You know, I've noticed even, I've got a couple of them, and they do have different sounds. I can change, you know, like I can grab one out of the cover, the other one out of the cover, for instance, to swap heads, and you can tell the difference without changing. In fact, if you're curious, for exercise, I'd screw around and see whether or not you notice the difference. I can hear it on the radio, because when I'm screwing around with these microphones, I do a couple things. I just got off the remote. That's the final test, actually, for me, when I'm by myself. But I use one of my... I use the TS-950, because that has the ability to... there's three AGC settings on it. Changes the characteristics of the receiver. And three ranges of, four ranges of attenuation. And let's see what else. I can go through different filter combinations. I can open up the receiver on it, for instance, lifting a sideband up to 6 kc and reduce it right down to the filters for CW, 250 hertz. And so, yeah, I plug in headphones and just, try to simulate a signal strength that's not overpowering on the receiver. You know, I use the attenuators to start out with, and then, if need be, pad, depends what radio I'm on to, the bleeding that takes place between your switches, you know. But I'll pad it with some RF gain, and then I'll commence audio, and then be looking at my scope to see what response I'm detecting and possibly hearing. And that's about it. But anyhow, get that other head if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead, give it a switcheroo. It sounds great, I'll tell you. I mean, it really, really sounds nice right now. So, I heard enough of the other one, and, give it the switcheroo, and I'll see what I notice. Test, but I've been listening just with the speaker here, so I'll just I'll just continue to listen on the speaker. So we'll stand by.
No, go ahead, put your headphones on. I'll commence talking on this one still. I just went up and had to go to the shelf there and get the other D104. Now, I'm not swapping D104s. I'm swapping the heads. That way, whatever the head does going into the amplifier board, we'll see, we'll see the effects that way. Because if I switch back and forth, there are two different bases, and on this other one here is not identical with resistance and capacitance, I don't think. I don't think I duplicated them identically. It's something I'll have to look at later on. But still on that old head, and I'm going to switch right now. Go and take the other one, take this off. I got the ring released. Not getting any RF either, I don't think. Here we go. Thank you. Geez, you think with only three pens I could switch microphones quicker.
This is the other mic, the other hat.
It's actually the pins in the head are even in a different location compared to the other one. But this is the other hat. Do you notice
a subtle or a severe difference between the two?
Let's see. No, it's not. It's nothing drastic. I don't notice anything drastic. I believe possibly this one might have a little bit more lows. Not much. Ever so slightly. This one's very nice sounding, too. There is not a big difference between the two. But this one here, I think, focuses maybe, just a little bit more of the lower end. It's real nice and clear and smooth. No background noise. Sounds really nice.
That's amazing, yeah. It is amazing with a D-104, yeah. Yeah, they're both 76 vintage heads, I guess. Old heads. I'll quickly change back to the other one just to get back to the starting point, and you can further reassure what your perception is on the audio. Into HFO, here we go. Now I'm starting to tighten up the ring on this one. This is the original one that I started out. It does look a little different on the scope, but not too much, really. You're right. They're pretty subtle, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a big change, that's for sure. I don't know. I'm thinking I like the other one better. They both sound great, don't get me wrong. I kind of like the other one, I think, and I did adjust my, before we even started, I am listening to you at 3.955.02, which is, splitting hairs a little bit, that's where you sound best to me. They both sound real nice.
So they be working. I went back to that one with the supposedly a little bit more fullness, I would say. Okay. Well, yeah. Frequency, yeah, you're right. I'm up a little bit. My readout is 3955. And when you hit 3955 on a hybrid, you could be 3955.01234567 8 9, and if you just touch it a little bit more, it'd pop right up to the 6. There's nearly entirely 100 hertz that are not displayed, and that's the way it was with the older radios. 100 hertz resolution in the displays is what they usually get. I think my external VFO, for instance, though, with the 102, that does register 10 hertz. You can actually tweak that 10 hertz resolution because it's PLL sensitized. The radios that they're attached to are VFO, and those are gradual. I mean, you're moving. You can do movement. It's linear. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hertz. I mean, it's ever so slight even between that. But the issue is, be it this wheel of VFO and have a display and be, okay, you're right there. It is what it is, OJ, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Understand 100%. Yeah, my old ICOM, the 745, is that way. It doesn't have those extra digits. And like you said, I can move the VFO up or down and make changes without changing the display. And You know, some people used to get real nitpicky with me. Oh, you're off frequency, you're off frequency. Well, I was never off frequency that much. It was really super, super close. They're just, you know, splitting hairs, nitpicking, or whatever. But, yep, understandable with the older older rigs. See, what I noticed, too, with your rigs, they all seem to be stable. You know, even if it is a touch off, which is no big deal, they all are pretty stable. I don't ever really notice any drifting or anything like that. N2HFO, KD2BQQ. Give me a minute, Michael. I just lit up the wood stove here, so let me go check on that real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah, maybe the band will come back, too. N2HFO. Audio test. I can make some changes here. Go to strong signal. Not that strong, is it? Let's go to standard. Okay. We can leave it there. And 2HFO.
Pretty nice, and got the keeper toasty in here.
All right, well, how many square feet do you have there, Jay?
I believe it's like 1,200. It's a two-story, two-story house, three-bedroom, two-bathroom, kitchen, living room, dining room. That's what it used to be called back in the day, the den. Now it's the shack. But big old house built in the early 1800s.
Oh, that's good. I didn't even have to ask the question. I was curious the built time, if you knew that. You know, on the Icon 745, I do believe it was possible that there was a mod that would allow another digit to come in. On some of the radios, I know, like on the, I think it was the TS, the Kenwood line there of the relatively same era, the TS 430 and 440. I know for a fact the 440, I think 432. It had from the factory. They didn't have it already set up for the 10 hertz resolution display without modification. I think it was that way. I'm trying to think. I can't even honestly recall. What hell? It's been almost 40 years. The 735. I think I had to do something to get the 10 hertz
display resolution, and I never could figure out exactly. There was some reason for that. I guess by offering the radios with only the 100 hertz display active, you'd never see the numbers change. You know, when you moved it, it stayed put. Maybe if they found that if they allowed from the start for the ones unbeknown to its existence or, you know, usage, it would probably be a good idea to leave the 10 hertz device off. That way, you know, they would not have the perception that the radio is not always that precise, you know, and stability. Because that's always been a marketing thing. Today, the new radios, so they if anything they've got going for them is that, yeah, they display and they are steady. They are much more stable in holding their frequency. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a never know mind. It just makes for conversation for me when it comes to it.
Oh, yeah. And I don't ever tell anybody they're off frequency unless they're way out in left field. You know? I just use my, you know, I've got separate receive and transmit RIT or clarifier, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, sometimes I just use the receive half of that and touch people up a little bit when needed. But, you know, you got to expect that with the older equipment. Now, on that 745, when I run that mobile, I don't ever get any complaints. Nobody ever, it's weird, Michael. I can run that 745 mobile every single day of the week. I get great reports. Nobody ever says anything like you're off frequency or the audio's not that great. Now, when I run that radio in the shack, there's always people complaining because they're so used to hearing me, I think, with this radio that when I go to that older one, you're off frequency, your audio stinks, you know. Kind of strange. Yeah, I should fire that thing up. Maybe I'll do that later. Fired up the old 745 in a while. I got it sitting right here. I just need to hook the power supply up to it, plug an antenna in. But maybe I'll check in the main potato net with that tonight. KD2BQ.
Well, you're using a different microphone with the 745 in the mobile, and you were always recognizable. And I think, you know, when one says they're mobile, it lures someone to get into a mindset of what to expect. They don't expect you to be, you know, like you would possibly sound at a station.
Okay.
Maybe it's a little bit tighter. You know those 745s, though? I never had one play, but I did play with them before. I had friends that had them. And, man, yeah, that
had one hell of a good receiver,
a good selectivity. It didn't get easily washed over by adjacent presence, you know, other stations, you know. Any worse than any other radio out there of the time.
Always liked that radio. It was one of my first radios. And, no, I run the same mic on it, just a hand mic. I don't have any other microphones. See, those ICOMs got that voltage on the audio line. The hand mic that comes with those is one of those electric microphones, which requires voltage on the audio line. In order to, I think I did play around once with other microphones using a blocking capacitor on the audio line, so the voltage would hit the element and you know, cause a problem. And never really had much luck with wiring any other types of microphones to that particular radio. So I just used a hand mic. But, yeah, if you're going to be in here for a few, give me a few minutes. Let me hook the...
I just got to swap over some power wires and stuff here. I'm going to put the old girl on the air here. I'll be back in a few.
Sounds like a plan there, J-Man. And 2HF, well, I'll be back.
BQQ on the old ICOM 745 here. I don't know. Well, let's see here. I don't know how close I am to being on the frequency.
Just fired it up now there, Michael. And 2HFO 82BQQ.
You established the frequency when you first transmit. It's yours. Now, different. What would you expect me to say? You know, the other ones, the other arrangement you had on, more like the Leisure Lazy Broadcast Rag. You know, Leisure Lazy Broadcast Rag scenario. You know, you're just smooth and fully dynamic. This is communication. It's, I wouldn't say it's extraordinarily dry. Wouldn't say it's extremely cut, but it's clean.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah, you sound great.
No problem. You sound really good on this rig. And you're right about the receiver. I always have liked this receiver, especially when I first passed my general, and I used to get on 160 with this thing. I noticed the floor noise was a lot lower on here than some of my other rigs. And I used to be able to really dig out the weak one. But yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll run this bad boy for a while here, and the only thing left I have to do is plug the RCA jack in for the amplifier, but we don't need to do that right now.
Let me try something. Let me turn the compressor on, see what you think about the compressor.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like that made a big difference. KD2BQP with the compressor on. I'll back the mic gain.
Mic gain down a little bit here. Looking at the ALC.
Oh, hello. Yeah, about three quarters scale on the ALC. And now I'll turn the processor back off. They're actually compressors. They call it the compressor. And this is with the compressor back off. What do you like better, Michael?
Well, under the band conditions, and since you're without a linear, the compression can hear you better. Without it, you're falling into the floor noise. No, it's a different type radio. It is. Jay, you know, going back for to me, it's a never know mine. I get it. Yes, it's easier to listen to you on the other radio that you were on earlier there. Easier because it's, you know, it's like listening to, come on, make comparisons, Mike. Listen to AM on your automobile on a weak station. It's noisy. You still get the tune. It's all right. Then you go to FM and hear the same tune. It's like, oh, I like it a lot better on the FM. Okay. One of those scenarios sometimes, but when the signals are equal, you know, when you're cleaning, it's just straight communication, clean. And, you know, the physics don't, nature don't change. The laws of nature don't change. Bandpass has a relationship in regards of how much power of signal developed to translate. Signal to the noise don't change. That's why CWs will always be supreme. It is. It's the laws of nature. A simple carrier occupied by a subject with a tone modulated in it, of it. A simple carrier, narrow, is easy to capture. Easy to capture under harsher conditions, and broadening the doorway and having to fill up the doorway with modulation of further range, the voice spectrum. I mean, when you're in CW, what is this, you know, 600 hertz tone and a bandwidth of what? In some cases, 250 hertz. I mean, with a 600 hertz tone, that means you're well, when you narrow your receive down to 250 hertz, you're actually only hearing a portion of that tone, but you've eliminated and swamped out noise beyond that bandpass by focusing even within, you know? And when you go on sideband, you want to make a comparison. Listen to a person speak, and then start playing around with the receiver in regards to sloping the contour on the receiver to be more narrow on that person's station. And then once you've narrowed it, start moving, relocating it to the spectrum of that person's voice. Are they, you know, a bassy type sounding person, or a very high or mid-range and stuff like that?
Your ICOM.
It's right there. It's in the speech range.
Of the speech range without any embellishment.
Yeah, okay, very good, very good. And, you know, like you know, with a radio like this, you're stuck with what they give you. There is no bass, there is no treble. You know, I can't adjust the carrier points or anything like that. So, you know, it is what it is. And I like the old analog meter. It's got a pretty nice old analog big S meter on it. I really like that about this radio. This radio let me down a few years back. I used to have it up in Studio B, mainly for listening. And I don't know, the radio lost, it became deaf. The radio became deaf on 160 and 75 meters. All the other bands worked okay, so I sent it out to Fred there in Ripley, New York. He kind of specializes in the old ICOMs, and come to find out, he said it was either lightning or a big static charge got it, but it burned up a couple transistors from the preamp, it burned up a couple chokes, and let's see, the meter light was out, 10 meter receive was kind of low, so he fixed her all up for me, and it's been working pretty good. It cost me a couple $100, but, you know, I didn't have a whole lot into the radio to begin with, so I figured, what am I going to do with it? Use it as a doorstop, or pay a couple $100 and, you know, have it working again. So I chose to have them repair it for me. And, it's I love it for the mobile in my truck, and it's a good all-around backup radio, too, there. N2HFO, KD2BQQ.
Sounds pretty good from here, too, W2CU.
So there you go. DJ, that's why it works so well and you're comfortable with it in the mobile. The 530 here I'm on.
I'm going to touch the VFO just a little bit. There we go. The 530 is 2.4 bandpass, and that's what's inside that 745. It's a 2.4 bandpass. It occupies
the width of that strong lay with modulation of clarity. It's a hard sound. It's a hard and clear sound. Radios of these era, the only thing you could do is address them externally by either choosing different microphones that have responses to your voice that, places assistance or detraction from things about your voice that you don't want to go through. I mean, that sound device there, W2Y or whatever, back in the day, man, a lot of guys would have loved to have them with the old radios. Nowadays, the current radios, they offer onboard equalization to suppress and enhance deficiencies of your actual voice. The microphones are obviously dynamic. They respond and put enough signal through characterizing you. But anyways, good afternoon to the station that just came in and complimented Jay. Why don't you pick it up and get with Jay there for a bit. N2HFO Michael here.
Yes, this is W2CU, handles Doug Delta Oscar United Golf, and we're located in northwestern Pennsylvania, just outside of Franklin. And we were just sitting in here trying to do some paperwork and was listening, and I concur with your comments as well. The the other radio with that microphone combination had a little more bass response. So it was a little more pleasant to listen to. But the 745, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong there. When you first came on, I was watching on the spectrum analyzer, and you were maybe a couple hundred hertz low, but you came right back on. And I think it's just a characteristic of the mic and the high-end response that is typical and typically desirable for DX-type communication. So, hey, don't let anybody put it down. It's sounding good. W2, see you.
Okay, Doug. Thank you. W2CU, KD2BQQ. You've got a whopper of a signal here today. 30 over, sounding like you're sitting right in the shack with me. But, yeah, thank you very much for the report. And, it is what it is. You know, I'm just happy the old girl still works. But, we'll run this one tonight, I think. And, like I said, it hasn't been fired up in a while. I do see the lights dimming a little bit when I talk. I probably should just check the voltage on this power supply. It is very low. I haven't looked at that in a while. But, nice to meet you there, Doug. And, I'm located in the village of Attica, about 30 miles east of the city of Buffalo, kind of in between Buffalo and Rochester, and the name is Jay. Yep, just running the ICOM 745, the hand microphone that goes with it, and the dipole V configuration out there. Feed points probably 10 feet off the ground. I've got the ends about 40 feet, and just running looks like about 80 watts here. KD2BQQ.
Okay, well, very good, Jay, and thanks for letting me butt in. Again, the handle here is Doug Delta Oscar United Golf, and we're we have too many radios in the shack, and I was just listening to you on the 7700, which is also an ICOM, and I'm actually about 400 watts right now, I think, is what this thing's picking up at. But in any event, you sound good. I know the 745 had one for a number of years, very nice radio. And I've kind of evolved through the ICOM lines. I got a 756 Pro 3 sitting here in a 7610, a 7700. But I also like to play with the older stuff. I've got the Collins S-line and an old set of Kenwood's 830 station, but seems I buy it and I never get rid of it, you know, that type of thing. Anyway, hey, I'm on day two of retirement, and maybe I'd do some paperwork and try to get things squared away and keep the finances moving. And so I just had the computer running and was doing some paperwork and listening to you guys in the background. Just wanted to comment. Sounds good. Hey, thanks. Thanks for letting me butt in. We'll get out of here. W2, see you.
Congratulations. Take a liking to the wider bandwidth, and just occupy it with all kinds of marvelous audio articulation.
The 70. Thanks again.
Some of us are on the old stuff. Anyhow, nice making your acquaintance there. W2CU, congratulations on the retirement. You made it into HFO.
Hey, Doug, this is Tom, ABC-KW. I heard you in there. I just want to jump in and say hello, Doug.
Hi, Tom.
I heard someone weak at tonight. I didn't want to keep you, Doug. I hadn't seen you for a while. I just want to say hello. So if you got things to do there, well, you just go do them. And you have a great day. W2CU, AB3KW.
Well, Tom, there are some other guys on this frequency. Let's move up 10.
Okay, we can do that.
W2CU, QSY. Thanks, guys.
Yep, AB3KW.
Catch it when you come back there. Yeah, there's a breaking station out there. I believe it was it Whiskey 8 Sierra Tango Hotel? Try it again. You say you're mobile? You getting them, Michael?
No, go for it.
Yeah, the breaking station. I thought you said you were mobile. I don't know if I've got your call correct or not. I thought you said Whiskey 8 Sierra Tango Hotel. If you can come back again a little slower and phonetically. Let me see if my noise level just kind of popped up here, and I'll see if I can pull you through. Over. Nothing hurt. I think I lost them.
Well, he was horribly light there when he came in. He came in, while Doug was getting ready to clear and sign there. And, Doug gets it. Jay, yeah. It's a different type of sound, you know. And myself, I've kind of... sometimes I wonder if it's what I'm saying or how it's being heard that, you know, shortens the conversation, you know. But to me, again, it's never no mind. It's going to be what it's going to be either way.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, and say you're on a high-dollar rig and a high-dollar microphone, and, you know, the same people that you talk to day in and day out are used to hearing you a certain way, then you go to a drastic change such as this, and, you know, and they're comparing it to how you usually sound. And, like, if I was a complete stranger that never, ever talked to you before, and come on in, you know, you probably nobody would ever even notice any difference. But let me try it again. That breaking station, I got my headphones on now here, and why don't you give your call again slowly, phonetically, and I believe you said you were mobile, so let's see if we can get you out of the noise there. This is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo, Quebec. Go ahead. Nothing heard. I think he's gone.
Yeah. Well, either that or the band. But, yeah, as I said, no books written on the psychology of these things. People playing on them. You know, like, I've said, you know, I'm studying propagations of a band, but I'm also studying behavior. You know, how that's work each and every time. Sometimes they really hit the cue nicely. You know, the exchange goes nicely. There's clues, obvious clues, that the exchange is understood, because in some cases, reiterated. And, you know, that sort of thing. And then there's a lot of, you know, never no mind. When you get on a net, you know one thing. You have a captured audience. It's different than rag chewing in that sense. And even a captured audience that need not reply.
rag chewing his captured audience to the person says, "Uncle, Uncle, I got to get out of here. Catch you later, Mike."
KD2BQQ into HFO.
Yep, that's for sure. That's for sure.
So, that upright, or that's an inverted V, right? That's inverted is upside down, so it's an upright V. You got an upright V, don't you?
Yeah, an upright, well, an upright V, kind of at a slant. The way, if I were to just leave the center dangling, it would just about be touching the ground. Because I only have about 100 feet of a spread in between the legs. So if I just let it dangle, the feet point's almost on the ground. So what I did is I just attached a line to the feet point and pulled it back as far as I could. And it's probably, maybe 10 feet off the ground, kind of at an angle. The mouth of the V, is going towards the west right now. I just got that, I got it tied to a bush, because with the feed point, the SWR is quite high with the feed point really close to the ground like that, and I found when I pulled it back and got that up in the air a little bit, the SWR kind of settled in, and I was doing a comparison. Pennsylvania remote is great. I tested my signal with it, with the feed point really close to the ground like that, and then I ran out real quick and pulled it back and got the feed point up in the air a little bit and did another signal test, and I was up about 5 dB. I don't know. Could have been band conditions. I did it as fast as I could, but I really like that Pennsylvania receiver for doing tests like you mentioned. You can go to a frequency and not bother anybody, really, if you're playing with multiple antennas. And it seems like I've got a pretty good pipeline into that remote at all times. It seems to work pretty good. I'm not sure what it says they have a G5RV antenna possibly. I never really, there's quite a dissertation there underneath the, at the bottom, I think, what they're using and everything else. I probably should take a little time to read that and see what it says. But yeah, it is a good tool. That's for sure. N2HFO, KD2BQQ.
Okay, well, I looked up the call of K3FES, and I don't know for a fact whether or not the remote is at his station location, or it's, some miles away from him, utilizing his call. I would think it's probably, the first, it's at his QTH. And he would be, from me, 183 miles from me, the crow flies. And this, it demonstrates, that relationship of distance is pretty much general with a lot of stations that, for instance, get on the main potato net, with the exceptions, like yourself and John and Frank and Dave, AC2BX. He's 18 miles, Frank's 19 miles, I think John's, 31 miles. And I forget, it's been a while since I looked you up and retained the numbers. You might be 50 miles or something like that. But
Anyhow, the sloping of that upright V, the SWR probably was because you were reflecting a lot of energy from the ground to it. You know, that created your SWR, and by sloping it away, which elevated the apex off the ground, also characterized the radiation can escape, you know, on one side, the side that's slanted towards up looking. So what goes into the ground is not compounded as much. Lower the SWR behavior of actual reflected power of the antenna itself from to itself. So, yeah, it turns out I think that antenna is probably a good 300. You know, anybody within 3 miles, it's going to propagate a good signal energy at a good angle, and it's certainly going to capture them, well, too. Now, you found out already, it will work, the 1,000, 1,200 miles that, for instance, that Pat happens to be. Is it the best antenna for Pat? No. But for what you've got in your arsenal right now, it's productive. That's a productive antenna.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, see, I'm limited, you know, like yourself. You know, I could only string up so high in the air and so far out. I'm very limited, very, very limited to support and trees. So, and we make the best of it. And, you know, we really have a lot of fun doing it. Yeah, I just looked it up. We're 34 miles. According to the QRZ, about 34 miles, so fairly close. But yeah, I see now on top of that V, right on the very top of that V, is the wire for my 160 antenna. And there's been some interaction. I noticed since I pulled the other day, I could not get it to tune on 160. I got it close enough, you know, where I was able to utilize it, 2 to 1, 2.5 to 1, or something like that. I just could not get it down flat like I used to be able to, and I was contributing that to either a lot of ice maybe was on the open wire line coming down the 160 antenna, and probably some coupling due to the antennas being really super, super close together. I'd like to try this V antenna with the 160 antenna taken right out of the picture, and just to see what happens. It's kind of deep out there, that snow. That's why we didn't go out the other day and really do much playing around. Even though the sun was shining nice and bright, it was still pretty chilly. There was a breeze and tromping around through the about a foot of snow kind of makes a little bit of a pain in the neck. But anyways, lots of fun. KD2BQQ. Anybody else out there listening?
Hey, B3KW. Hey, I am here. And I don't want to critique your audio, but I didn't even know it was you, Jay, until you gave your call sign. You're all pitched up.
Yeah, well, I'm on the old ICOM there, Tom. I haven't fired it up in a while, so yeah, I was just figured I'd fire it up and blow the cobwebs out of her, get the capacitors charged up. Well, yeah, it's that old 745 with the with the hand mic.
Okay, well, I'm just going to rinse the RMD and there's the 12 points below, 39.55.
Now you're talking another thing, audio width and now frequency. Hey, yeah, Jay, I guess we are a little bit below the numbers. Yeah, I've been transmitting on this pretty good here, so
as it's warming up, this thing is kind of known as a drifter. Not a whole lot, but, you know, it's an old radio, and I've been hammering on it pretty good here for a while, so it probably is getting up to temperature.
Yeah,
I'm sure it changed a little bit, but, no big deal.
Like I said, I wouldn't have known it was you until you give your call sign. That's how bad it was, but it seems to be getting a little better.
Bad for what? Recognition? Tom, you know, Jay, you're 34 miles away from me. This is what has happened to amateurs. Tom, you just exampled it. You know, the terminology. It's so bad. You're so pinched. This is the way radio was because of the equipment. Nowadays, everybody's, more people are becoming spoiled with 2.5, 2.7 bandwidth and occupying much more bandwidth. The heck, DJ gets in here and says he listens at 4 KCs on sideband. You know, I have a view on that. It's ridiculous. it's ridiculous. You know, and is there a difference in what you hear? Oh, day and night. Yeah, you listen 2.7 to 2.7 to receive. Oh yeah, pleasurable. Okay, take it to 6 for Pete's sake if you want. Some radios can even do it nowadays. But back in the day, the manufacturers kind of complied to a standard, and the standard was 2.4, and that's what that radio is on right now. That's Jay on an Icon 745 that's 2.4 with a stock mic. That's how it sounds, and it sounds the same as it did, you know, 40 years ago, you know? But, you can make a guy have a complex by using terms of bad. It's not bad. It's different.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to go out. I just think there. He's the president of the Barter Radio Club. I wanted to say hello to him. I haven't seen him for a while, so I am going to go out and feed the birds and empty the litter box and get my mail, and I'll be back if anybody's here. So catch y'all later. AB3KW.
That's for the birds, all right.
And that's it.
Yeah, well, Tom, you should have stayed here with him and not kept the ball to yourself. You were too selfish, man. He was sounding good over here. Would love to hear more of him. Anywho, come on back into HFO. I can be so meanful, Jay.
Well, that was a very. I'm not upset. No, by no means. You know, I know what it is. But you know what? There was the example I was just trying to tell you about earlier.
You know, you get complacent or things. I kind of try to pride myself by being much more diversified and accepting and not surprised by what I hear. I mean, if I hear somebody doing sideband 4KCs, you know, I just go, man, what a waste of the band and the moat. You don't have the range. You know, like Doug used the term, he says, yeah, it's DX, DX tone. Yeah, that's what they were intending to do, is get as much distance per watt out of the radio. ICOMs are pretty good, too, at it. They had a dry, have always been known, were known to be very dry and flat sounding. And Yaesus were known to have very high dynamic reach in the highs. And Kenwoods were known for being very disciplined about audio reproduction, always able to be captured sounding nice and warm with clarity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had the ICOM
735 too. That was one of my first rigs also, and yeah, I'd get the same type of reports with that. What I did with that one is there was a audio input in the back of the radio. I surprised everybody one night. I plumbed in a little cheap little mixer and put a studio mic on it. Everybody, I got on there with that thing. Everybody's like, "Oh, Jay, you got a new radio. What'd you get?" It really made that 735 camera come to life. I don't know if I could do that. I have to look at the schematic and see if there's provisions on the back of this one for a audio in, which bypasses the front microphone jack and everything that goes with that. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. KD2BQQ at the bottom of the hour. Maybe I'll fire up the Pennsylvania remote, see what I sound like on that.
You could do that, yeah. I did earlier. I got it off now. I did not know that about the 735. That was my one and only HF radio that I bought brand new. Paid a little over $620. Got it in 1986. Geez, I think it arrived, in the fall. It was, might have been around October or something. They were just released. In fact, this is before the internet. You called by phone. It was a long distance phone call. Got it out of AES out of Texas, and they shipped it. It was mentioned in the magazines that they were about to be released. I called and I had my name on a list to have it sent. You know, call me when it's available, and you send them the money. And I did that, and got mine. I never knew of that feature. Didn't realize it could, tap into it from behind. I did some modifications, the wars, whatchamacallit. I got a service manual for it. That radio actually tap out 180 watts. Of course, the fan would come on real quick, and it'd be up, ramp up to the third speed. Because, it had a three-speed squirrel fan, different than all the other manufacturers, which were still using paddle fans. And that radio, by the way, had a 2.3 bandpass filter in it. That's another reason why it sounded horribly pitched, in comparison to the guys that were running the Yaesu's and Kenwood solid state 757 Yaesu and the 440 and 430s of the Kenwood of that era. But that 735, man, could it hear, and it was pretty resilient. You could hear a weak signal even when you had somebody next to you that was putting in a 20, 30 over, as long as they weren't too thrashing on their audio. But, yeah, tick-tock goes the clock there, Jay. Check out your audio on that remote into HFO.
Yeah, I really like that 735. I thought it had a great receiver, and just for the heck of it, I just plugged my headphones into the FT1000 MP here, and I don't know, this radio sounds pretty good here to me in the headphones. I didn't try the Pennsylvania remote yet, but I got the headphones on my other main rig right now listening, and I don't know, it sounds really good in my ears anyway. But yeah, this 745 too, it's got all the warp bands that transmits everywhere. I can operate on the 60 meter band, and it just does not have AM. It will not. There's a very, very expensive modification, and you can get it to transmit on AM, but I'm not gonna bother with that. I just leave it alone. FM doesn't have FM. I don't know. Hold on a second.
Generally, they do a narrowband AM, honestly. 6 KC's. Maybe up to 15, I don't know for sure. Certainly, you know, not as wide as actual broadcasting. Broadcasting more than 6 KC's, that's for sure. At least 10. So, that is what it is. Now, the 735 was good radio. I had it for, as I said, 11 years before I departed. Still remember the serial number, though. It's one of the rarities in my recall. 5,555 was the unit number, the serial number of the one that I picked up, N2HFO.
Yeah, okay. Another cool thing about this radio, it's got the, on the top cover, it's got the calibrator. After the radio's all good and warmed up, I can turn that left or right, try to get the frequency, you know, dialed, dead enough back to center, which is kind of cool. I use that quite a bit, calibrator, it's called. That works out pretty good, too. But, yeah, let me fire up the Pennsylvania remote, see what it sounds like.
Yeah, that mark, I believe, is so that you would go to WWV, you know, 5 megs, 10 megs, 15 megs. I forget the increments. I forget how low they go and how high they go, but...
Moi, je vais lister un circuit high, ou donc, autrement dit, 5 volts maximum, et après ça, 0 volts au ground, à mise à la terre. Mais là,
but some of the people whose audio is so terrible, and you can't really say anything, so they get offended. But when you play the audio, they are very appreciative. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, it was good. Good recording, and it really does sound good. Just there, really nice.
Yeah, I did a little recording of him, too, earlier, but Devin came in with his, so I don't think Lloyd would hear me as good as he's hearing you guys. But let me just play his little clip back here. Hold on a second. You know, it's a copy of his transmission. It's no big deal. I'm not hearing him that strong, but his audio is up for me to make a recording. I'll play it back for you guys. Hold on. All right, here we go. Let's see.
In the southern, western, middle of the state of Vermont, I'm guessing. I'm not a skier, never been there. I'm right on the Connecticut River Valley. In New Hampshire, I can look out my window and I can see New Hampshire, so...
There you go. That's all. You know, the band is really rough for me to hear him that well, but that's what I was getting out of it.
Yeah, I can see. I can hear the band conditions. That was band conditions there on your end, but hey, it's still good.
All right.
Hey, Joe, I got a question for you.
I hope I can answer it.
Oh, yes, you can. I have a STBX 3000 for a backup radio. I talked to it, but I like to get a different radio for a backup. You have 7300, I understand, and you also have 7610. If you're using a backup radio, besides having two receivers in 7610, what are the major advantages of 7610? Or 7300 is good enough for most of the jobs, most of the things we do. Go ahead.
Well, all right. It's difficult to answer that question because everybody has different likes and dislikes and stuff like that, and a different way of looking at what makes sense to them. All right. That being said, if you just want a backup radio and something portable, and you like the idea, if that's a characteristic that would be a plus for you, I would go with the 7300 because you are, as I understand it, an Anon man, and once you have an Anon, it's hard to say, gee, would you be happy with anything less? I don't know. I don't know. But if you're just thinking of a backup and something that is quite or close to portable, I would go with the 7300. I mean, look at the cost. You can get it for $900. The 7300 is something I will not. I will part with my 7610 first before I part with that 7300. Not because it performs better. It doesn't. But that's not the point. I can do things with that 7300 that I don't want to let go. Okay? I do like the 7600 better. It's got a dual receive. It's got a nice, comfortable display on it. It sounds good. It's good enough for me. It does everything I want it to do. You know, but you want to spend close to $3,000 for a backup? I don't know.
Buy another Anon. These 7610 got an Ethernet jack, though, right?
What does it have on the back here? I don't even use it, so I don't know.
The 7300 does not have that.
Well, again, it depends on what you're going to do with this thing. I mean, I use it as a back, strictly as a backup, and I can take it places. So if that's what you're looking to do with it, and you don't, you know, you have a main radio, and you don't want to spend more than a grand, how could you beat that?
I think you answered my question, Joe, because I'm not trying to outdo or same thing as Anon, because I don't think I can get anything like that. I'm just looking for something, if I'm working on it or something, you know, is not working at a time when I'm installing new software. I just need something which can, I can operate, sounds good, and basically just one antenna. So I think I'm leaning more towards 7300. I don't need anything else, to internet or display, bigger display. No, I have everything here. Another thing, you are talking about the pure signal and without pure signal. I don't know how strong the signal you're getting from me. Generally, if your signal, you know, a bad transmission is bad transmission, no matter what power you use. For a good transmission, even for a good transmission, as you go higher in power, like 20 over F9 or 30 or 40 over 9, you are always going to see some IMD, because it's just a ratio, you know, 30, 40 IMD, that's what that means. So here I'm using about 600 watts, and I will do this pure signal and without pure signal. And it tell me what you see. So this is the pure signal on the radio only, not on the amplifier. Kilo 1, Delta Sierra Kilo, I'll turn pure signal off. This is without pure signal, K1 DSK, Kilo 1, Delta Sierra Kilo, no pure signal. What do you see there, Joe?
They both look good. They both look good, Devin. I mean, what else can I say? What we were referring to, I think, and Carl can speak for himself on that, in the past, before they had pure signal, I've seen Anons that sounded good and looked good, and I saw some that didn't. So, you know, I mean, once they introduced the pure signal, I have not seen one that didn't look good.
And also, I think a lot depends on the amplifier also. A lot of amplifiers keep the old drive, and then you see IMD. For example, I have, I think we talked about this earlier. I have an Expert 1.3K, and I have the RS2K Plus. RS2K Plus, it doesn't matter how much you drive, it's just bit ball. There's almost no IMD. Expert Linear, up to 800, 900 watts. It's very clean. But you go to about 1 kilowatt or 1.2, you start seeing distortion on that. So, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you're driving it beyond compression.
And, you know, I mean, again, getting back to what you were saying before, it all depends on what you have in mind to use that radio for. I mean, if you heard the conversation with Carl, I mean, new guys, or if I would have started all over, I'd have a different perspective on what I would do with ham radio. I mean, listen to what we're doing right now. What are we using the radios for? Okay, we tend to lose perspective, too. What are we using these radios for? You got to think about that. Would I invest $5,000? $1,000 in a radio, if I would have started all over again, heck no. What for? I mean, to do this? So it all depends on what you want to use it for. And just to have that safety net, that backup, and something you can take with you, man, for that price, there's very little out there that's going to beat that unless you're going to buy something used. And even then, can you take it with you?
Well, from my point of view, as you asked the question, I look for two things. I look for good sounding audio. The second, when I go for a DSP, I want to make sure my transmission does not have QRM or other things. Sometimes I see transmission on the, when you change DX on 20 meter or something, there are people, you know, not treat AC. Why they are AC wise? And that's obnoxious. I hope I never do that. So besides that, it's all just playing with the knobs and mouse and all the features. Go ahead.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, I don't think you will be disappointed if you're using it, like I said, for that purpose. And you've got new hams coming on, and a lot of guys don't have that kind of bread. You know, some of the younger people don't have that kind of bread. So, I mean, you know, when they come on with a 7300, there's no way I'm going to put them down. I think they're doing the right thing. It all depends on everybody's circumstances and what they want to do with it. But I think it's an excellent radio for what it's intended for.
Yeah, you see what the 7300 did to the resale value of my 3000? Hi, into OYM.
Yeah.
OYM, is that correct?
November 2, Lima, Yankee Mike. Name's Mike here.
Well, Darren, Evan's writing that down. Yeah, Danny Joe, you know what it comes down to, Joe, and I'm going to tell you right now. And Mike, you're right about the 7300, what it did to the market. But you find me a better radio to put on a bench, and no matter what you would say to me, I would mean absolutely zero. I make my own choices, my own opinions about it. For the price of that radio, Joe, you can't go wrong. We heard this thousands of times with other guys, and then we heard guys bashing that radio, you know. For somebody to criticize somebody's radio, and mostly if it's a new radio he went out and spent money on, or an amplifier or whatever else, shame on them. Shame on them. Well, what are we doing here? We're glorified CBers. We're enjoying the hobby radio, talking to each other. That's what it really comes down to. You're tired of hearing people bash this, bash that. Simple as that. As far as I'm concerned, if you're enjoying it and having fun, that's what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead, Mike.
Right. Yeah, it's a hard game to beat. That's why it was a paradigm change. Under $1,000, that kind of performance. But I hear if you have a close ham neighbor, it may be a little challenging for you. So how are you?
Well, my opinion is, not if new hams will come in. It's our responsibility to make sure. So we help them understand and help them improve how to operate radio. Sometimes settings are not good. A lot of radio, most radios, I think, is top 10, 20, 30 radios. You have proper settings, proper combination microphone. They're all fantastic. We can't tell the difference besides measuring the meters, you know. So my opinion is anybody who puts anybody down about using the radio is doing a disservice to the hobby. Doesn't matter how bad it is. You have to teach them how to. That's my opinion. A1 DSK.
Well, I agree with you also, Devin. I mean, if you go around the band, whether it's not so much on 20, but on 40 and 80 and 160 especially, I mean, everybody's radio is terrible. You should be thrown out the window except one. So that kind of gets to me, you know, because it's a losing game, keeping games close. And not everybody wants to spend that kind of money. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars. And in fact, those that do, you know, and look at what some of their signals look like. They may sound nice, they sound very strong, but you don't want to tell them any more than that.
Well, let me say this. And Devin, you talk to one of those guys that criticized everybody else's radio. You talk to that guy.
And so there's a few other people also.
Well, he
here. Let me do this real quick here. Not for nothing, but here we go, Mike. This is a little clip of you, Mike. Here we go.
That kind of performance. But I hear if you have a close hand neighbor, it may be a little challenging for you. 208.
Now, I don't know how much you heard there, but see, Mike, you got too much energy going on there for me as far as that goes. And you just key up and you'll see what I'm talking about. Over.
Well, what do you mean too much energy? My spectral distribution here looks pretty much flat, and what you played back was a lot different.
Well, it was a lot different, huh? And just key up and don't say nothing, and let the other fellows tell me what they hear.
Oh, yeah, I got fans in the furnace going on over here. That's background noise.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, energy. That's what I'm talking about. You got a lot coming in there with your audio, and sometimes it's a little difficult to say that time with all that energy. I call it energy, the background noise, Mike.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. No, it is what it is. I
hear you. Well, there you go. There you go, Joe. How many times you heard me say that? It is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, what's the point? Oh, my goodness. You don't want to debate all day long. But anyway, I like to think in terms of new hands. You know, and a new guy on, and especially if he's a family man, and he's not about to spend 4 or 5 minutes on the radio and stuff like that. And forget about it. I mean, that's not even in the picture for a while. You have to kind of want to know the chit-chatting and doing red chewing and an occasional BS. How much do you need? Be honest with yourself.
You need less than $1,000, and you have everything you need.
How many people started with a 735?
I want. Get guys over here and sit back.
I can. It's all about eye candy and ear candy. Go ahead, Mike. I know you doubled up with, what's his name, Devin.
Yes, and you know how many people started with a 735, an entry radio under $1,000, and, you know, things like that. You can go back further than that.
Yeah. Well, mine was the radio you needed sneakers with, the 101 double E, Mike. You needed to put on the sneakers, the receiver. But I had a 735 when they came out. Great passband filter, but, boy, they stunk with audio drive.
Wait a second. How about, I think this may be the same thing. I'm not sure because a friend of mine had it. An ICOM 100 or a 101?
Yeah, well, the Yaesu, you had to keep your hand on the knob.
The 100, the little all-mode rig, Joe, was a walker, too.
Well, I looked up the makeshift radio. My friend had it, and I'm trying to remember if it was a 100 or a 101. But it had all, I don't know if it had 6 meters in it, but it was 10 through 160. And I think it was an ICOM 101 or a 100.
I never heard of a 101 in an ICOM. But then again, who knows what could have been out there. But, I hear you. Hey, listen, 2.4 filter transmit, you know, the receiver 2.4, 2.6 if you were lucky. And then what was the 901 Yaesu? It was a hybrid. It had a nice variable receive on that. Went out to 2.8, I think, in its day. And that was back in the 70s or 80s. Mike, maybe you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, what model again?
The FT901. It was an FT901. It was a hybrid.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Well, anyway, it had a variable receive, believe it or not, on it, which was one of the first ones I ever heard of back then. So there you go. All right, guys, I got to step away here. Everybody have a good afternoon. Maybe back later, Joe. W2QEG. 7-3 for now. So long, Devin. Good hearing you.
Okay.
Hey, Carl. Good to talk to you. Yeah, I'll be away for a week. I'm going to California. But after that, I'll be stopping by more often on this frequency. Have a good day. 73 K1DSK.
All right. Enjoy your trip and have a safe one, Devin. 7-3.
So long, Devin. Have a good trip. N2ZRI.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. And thank you, Mike. Nice meeting you. Have a wonderful day. K1DSK. I'll be QRT. 73.
Yes, 7-3, Devin. Nice meeting you, too. 12-8.
Yeah, Devin sounded good and he looked good on the fish finder.
What was it? He's DSK?
Yeah, I know sometimes it's a little tough with the accent, but Kilo 1 Delta Sierra Kilo.
Yeah, Roger, thanks. Are you closer than I was?
Who knows? My hearing is not what it used to be, so it doesn't matter what I got here sitting on the table. But anyway, I'm glad that gentleman from Vermont came in, Lloyd, because he's got the same thing I have, and he sounded very good. Not the same antenna, but the same radio and mic.
Pickle, I'm in. I have a 3,000, but I paid buku bucks for it, and I can't get half of what I paid for it now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. The used market has really taken a hit, you know, because of the 7,300, and also, when you think about it, the I think I got that right? That also hit the market as well. I don't know if it had the same effect, but I think the ICOM had a greater effect on it. But then again, if you look at the Yaesu 891, what is that selling for now? That little mobile rig, that thing is fantastic. You don't hear any bad reports about it. And what is it, $570, something like that?
Yeah, but the Yaesu 991, that was HF plus 6 plus 2 plus 440, wasn't it?
No, I'm talking about the little mobile radio, the 891. The 991, that's an old mode everything.
Yeah, the 891, that's the 100-watt version of the 817, right?
Well, whatever it is, the thing is, it's a nice little radio, and for the price, that's hard to beat as well. If you want everything in one shot, that's probably...
Yeah, it's a nice backpack radio.
Well, I don't know if it's that small. I like the 891. If you're just going to go HF, that 891, man, I mean, again, what is it, 570, something like that, the price?
Yeah, when you think about it, when you think about what the dollars were today, that's a...
Well, especially if you need something small, really small and portable, and really
possible. Fait que il y avait vraiment un problème au niveau de la lumière et de la radio, là, ça se fait la fois en haut, je pense. Ah, je ne sais pas comment est-ce que ça va donner le TV, peut-être un 45-50 dB d'atténuation. I want to tell you how much I take 10 surgeries.